want to encourage you to open your Bible to the book of Psalms. This morning we are going to be looking at the 42nd Psalm. We sang the song a moment ago, As the Deer, and that song, that hymn, is taken from the first verse of Psalm 42. But what's interesting is, other than that first verse, we don't often dig into the 42nd Psalm. That's what we're going to do this morning. We've got this theme going in which we are finding ourselves in the Psalms, realizing that the Psalms are more than just the songbooks for ancient Israel, but they are meditations, or oftentimes written as if someone's writing in a journal and they're pouring out their heart and their inward thoughts. And that's very much what is happening here in the 42nd Psalm. This psalm is a song from a heart that is desperately longing for God. And of course, that thought is conveyed in the song that we sang, As the Deer. But there's something different about this psalm from the others that we've looked at, and maybe others we're more familiar with, to where there's more of a structure to other psalms where you have the psalmist presenting the problem and then presents the solution and then turns to praise. And you've got those distinct sections in the psalm. Well, Psalm 42 is as if you took all that and put it in a blender. These themes are woven together, and as you're reading through the psalm, we're not going to take the time to read through it. We're going to be commenting on almost every verse in it. But as you read through the psalm, you find yourself on an emotional roller coaster, which actually makes the psalm a little more applicable to our lives today. That's the way life is as we deal with God's promises on one hand, but then we've got the problems of life on the other hand. And we find ourselves having to deal with these. I read a quote this past week, "No one goes to heaven in a straight line." And that's true. Life often has its peaks and its valleys. And that's very much a part of Psalm 42. Of course, the biggest part of this psalm is the despair of the psalmist. That is the problems that he is going through. And they are numerous. To start with, the psalmist is separated from God. Verse 2 says, "When shall I come and appear before my God?" For some reason, he's not able to go and to assemble with the saints and to go to the house of God and worship. Look down in verse 4. Verse 4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast." He's used to going with the multitude, used to going to the house of God in Jerusalem. And for some reason, he's not able to do that. And that's taken him to a dark place. It's taken him to a place of despair. We have members of the Knollwood congregation who are not able to assemble with us. And they can find themselves in this psalm. But it wasn't so long ago that none of us were able to assemble for a few weeks, remember? And we could find ourselves in this psalm longing to get back to that worship, longing to get back to those opportunities where we could assemble. So we can very much sympathize with the psalmist here. We can find ourselves right here in these verses. He appears to be forsaken by God. Look at what he says in verse 9. "I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me?" This is the way he feels at this time in his life. He feels as if God has abandoned him. God has forsaken him. And part of that is because of his enemies. He is taunted by his enemies. Look at verse 3. Verse 3, "My tears have been my food day and night." "My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God?" And then down to verses 9 and 10, we started reading verse 9. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? There's this constant taunting from his enemies. Where is your God? Now, why are they saying this? This may be something that is directed to the psalmist himself. Look at the condition you're in. Look at the state that you're in. God is not helping you. Where is your God? You're without the help of your God. So it may be something that is directed toward the psalmist himself, or it may be something that's directed towards God. Where is your God? Why isn't God around to help you? I guess your God isn't here. And I think, ironically, really, about Elijah taunting the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel as they offered up that sacrifice and called upon Baal to answer, and it went all through the day, and Elijah said, well, yell a little bit louder. Maybe he's fallen asleep. Maybe he's gone on a journey. Where is this God of yours? Well, coming back to the psalm, regardless of if this is directed to the psalmist or if it's directed towards God, the psalmist feels it. And you know, we have to deal with this as well. We live in a world today where people around about us taunt the idea of God. Where is God at? Isn't it interesting that among unbelievers, God never gets the credit, but he always gets the blame? I find that interesting. Where is this God of yours, and how foolish for you to be believing in God and worshiping God? So we can sympathize with the psalmist here. We can find ourselves right here in these verses. And notice verse 3 says it's day and night. And verse 10 says that it's continually, all day long. It never stops. So here's his despair. He's separated from God. He feels forsaken by God. He's taunted by his enemies. And one of the features of this psalm is, remember, the psalms are poetry, and so this psalm is very rich with metaphors. It's very rich with illustrations and statements that the psalmist uses to try to describe his despair. It begins in verse 1 with the illustration that we're very familiar with, the deer panting for the water. Verses 1 through 3 really all have this illustration. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Here's the picture of a wild animal that is roaming the parched land, looking for life-giving water. And that's the way that the psalmist feels. Again, he feels as if he's separated from God. Very much under the Mosaical system, there was a place to go and worship God. And remember, he can't get there. So he feels separated from God, but he has that longing for God, and it can't be satisfied. There's that thirst, and that is used to describe that longing that we have that has to be filled. Jesus, in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They have to have it. And if they have to have it, they'll do whatever they can in order to get it. They will be filled. They will be satisfied. So here's the psalmist. I'm as this parched animal searching diligently for life-giving water. And it's day and night, again, verse 3. There's no rest to this. There's no relief as he is longing for God. Verse 4, we read that he pours out his soul within him. The Hebrew word here referred to the pouring out of the contents of a vessel. And it's used numerous times in the Old Testament, but interestingly, the first time it's used is in Genesis chapter 9 and at verse 6, where God talks about shedding man's blood. And so the pouring out of that life blood and taking that life. Here the psalmist says, that's what I'm going through now. I'm pouring myself out. I'm emptying myself in my despair. That's where he is. His soul is downcast and in despair. Let's look at these two terms. And this is in verse 5, and it's in verse 11 as well. And what's interesting, if you were to divide Psalm 42, I said it's really blended together, but there are actually two stanzas. And they both end with the same refrain. Verse 5 and verse 11 are very similar. The very end of the verses are different, but they're very similar. And here's another point, and we're not going to explore it in this study because of our time, but many people believe that Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 were originally one psalm. In older manuscripts, I believe, they are found together as one psalm. There are other things that indicate that they used to be one psalm. For some reason, in our English Bibles and in the Septuagint as well, they are separated as two separate psalms. But in Psalm 42, verse 5 and verse 11 are similar. And then if you look Psalm 43 and verse 5, that refrain is found a third time. So there's some Bible scholars believe that these two psalms were one. But here's this verse 5 and verse 11 where the psalmist repeats that he is cast down and he is disquieted, the New King James Version says. So let's look at these two terms. The word for cast down, the New American Standard Version says in despair, is taken from a Hebrew word that literally means to sink or to depress. And so I would say from this word in this verse right here, the psalmist is depressed. Have you ever felt depressed? I believe we all have at one time or another in our lives. I'm not talking about clinical depression where there is a chemical imbalance in your body that you cannot control. That's something different. With that, you need to get professional help, just like if you've broken a bone, you go to a professional, you get that taken care of. But we all fall into times when we could describe ourselves as being depressed. He's depressed. The circumstances are depressing him. So, can we find ourselves in this psalm? I think every one of us has been here at one time or another. We've been depressed. And then there's this term, disquieted. The English Standard Version says in turmoil, and that's what I put on the slide. It's translated from a Hebrew word that literally means to make noise, to murmur, to moan or to groan, to be in great commotion or tumult. It is the same word that is used elsewhere in the Old Testament to refer to the noise of an army that is marching, or to refer to the noise of a crowd that is agitated. So here's the psalmist. Not only is he feeling it, but he's expressing it verbally. He is moaning and groaning as he's going through this despair. In verse 7, he feels as if he is drowning. Look at verse 7. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Have you ever felt like you're drowning in your problems, drowning in your sorrows? We use the phrase drowning in debt, that it's overtaken someone. There's no way out. There's no escape. And that's the way the psalmist feels. His problems have hit him like waves, and they're carrying him away, and they're pulling him under. That's how he feels. And verse 10, as with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me. Again, this isn't literal. They didn't literally break his bones, but he feels as if his bones have been broken. In the Bible, the breaking of one's bones represents, or it conveys the idea of utter and total destruction. A person has been defeated and they've been left damaged. And yet bones can heal, but there's still there's still the damage there. There's still the evidence there that the damage has been done. The Hebrews took their bones very seriously. Remember Joseph instructing his sons for the care of his bones whenever Israel returned to the promised land? You care for my bones. You take my bones back with you. He feels as if his bones are broken. So here we are in this psalm. Here we are in this poetry. And the imagery is here, and it's very rich, but it's also very dark. He's gone to a dark place. He's feeling this despair. He's feeling as if he's drowning, as if he's broken. He is depressed. Now, let's go back to the slide that we had before, and I want to add one more detail. In the psalm says he feels as if he's separated from God. He's forsaken by God. He is taunted by his enemies. But he's making matters worse in this psalm by focusing entirely upon himself. I mean, his problems are real. They're real, but they're made worse by him focusing on himself during this plight. The song that we sing that comes from Psalm 42, verse 1, as the deer, number 589 in our hymnal, is very different from the psalm, Psalm 42. I've got this slide. These are the words, all the words of the 42nd Psalm. I don't expect everyone to be able to read this from where you are sitting, but I want to illustrate something. In this psalm, now in the song, As the Deer, the focus of that psalm is on God and how great God is and how much we long to worship God and we want that worship with God. But the focus of Psalm 42 is on the psalmist. 35 times the psalmist mentions himself. 35 times he talks about himself and what's going on with himself. And more than that, 6 times the psalmist asks, why? Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through all this? Why have you forsaken me, God? How can you hope to find God in that mess? Have you ever been at a point in your life where you're overwhelmed and you can't find God in it? Could it be that the reason you and I can't find God at these times in our lives is because we're focused too much on ourselves and our own problems instead of remembering God and looking at God? I wanted to put this up here to illustrate this, to think about this. This psalm gives us an opportunity to reflect upon. Yes, it's only fitting that we would think about ourselves when we're going through hardships. Yes, that would be expected. But to do it to the neglect of thinking about God, or to do it where we're totally inwardly focused on ourselves, it will lead us to despair. And that's where this psalmist is. He is in a place of despair. But we said that this psalm has both sides mixed together. And so we turn now from those things that are black, we turn to where there is light. And the answer to the despair is the psalmist's hope, the hope that he has in God. Again, the refrain, it's in verse 5 and verse 11. We've got verse 5 on the slide. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. There's the answer. Hope in God. The hope that you and I have as Christians is not dependent upon ourselves. As if I had strong enough faith, then I could make it through this. And sometimes we can beat ourselves up. Sometimes we can let ignorant, maybe well-meaning, spiritually minded people beat us up. Well, you just need more faith. You just need more faith. No, hope isn't dependent upon us having strong enough faith. And hope certainly isn't dependent on our circumstances. God, if you would just level everything out for me, then I'd serve you again. No. Our hope is based upon the fact that God has guaranteed that our future is secure. That's where our hope is. Hope is powered by our faith in God, knowing that God has never failed to bring forth His promises. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking why. The psalmist does it twice in this verse right here. There's nothing wrong with you and I asking why, as long as we remember God's not obligated to answer that question. You don't think so? Read through the book of Job. Job asked and asked and asked and never got an answer. You and I, we don't make it through life based on explanation. We'd love to have the explanation. God, why is this happening? God, why are all these things taking place? God, why am I going through all this? We would love to have explanations. But in the place of explanations, what God gives us are promises. Promises. We don't have the answer to why, but we know about God, and we know of His promises, and that gets us through. That sees us through. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 is another bright verse in this psalm. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. If you remember back in verse 4, we pointed out the fact that this psalmist was eating his tears day and night. He's dealing with the taunting of his enemies day and night. That negative is there day and night. But in verse 8, he realizes, you know what? God is also there day and night. It all depends on how we want to look at it. Well, in verse 8, he's seeing God in his life day and night. During the day, God commands His loving kindness, His mercy. God is merciful to us, and although He allows us to go through times that can produce despair, we know that He's also there to give us the strength to make it through. But what about the night? I've got to be honest with you, I wish I had more time to study this through and to develop it and to talk about it this morning. I don't. In doing some studying, some preparation, I found that this phrase, the song of God in the night, or singing to God in the night, is a phrase that's found a couple of times in the Psalms. It's also found in the book of Isaiah. And it's a beautiful phrase. In this sense, the night represents a time of darkness, a time of evil, a time of despair, a time of danger. What kind of person could sing songs of praise to God in the time of darkness? But a person that had hope in God. And the psalmist reminds himself that he has that hope and that he has a reason to sing the songs of God even in the times of darkness in his life. And with that thought in mind, I want to remind you of Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown into the stocks and placed in the inner prison. And at midnight, they were heard praying and singing hymns to God. They could sing the song of God at night. Can you? Can I? We can, if we have hope in God's promises, we can sing that song of praise. Psalm 42 offers an honest look at our lives. It's not a pretty psalm. It takes us to a dark place, but it takes us to a place where I believe all of us are all too familiar. We can find ourselves in this psalm. What do we learn as we walk away? We learn that we've got to maintain our longing and our panting for God's presence in our lives. That we are not to focus on ourselves to the point of despair. That we can ask why, but we have to remain anchored in our hope to survive the storms of life. Remember, we don't get explanations, but we do get promises. And let's cherish those promises and rest in those promises. And that God will never forsake us. Day and night, God is always with us. Let's be of a mind frame to look for and to find God as we're going through those valleys of life. I ask, have you found yourself in this psalm? If so, then it's a place that you and I can return to when we need it and find that help and that reminder to grab a hold of that hope in those times of despair. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful that you do not abandon us, but that you are with us day and night as we face the blessings and endure the trials of our lives. We pray that you would help us to remember you in the darkness and to remember you in the night, to remember your promises and to cling to them, to stand upon them, and that we can find ourselves singing your song even in the night. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.